When you begin to look into the Word of God, what the Word of God starts showing you, once you start doing it, listen, people around begin to say, this is a different person. What manner of man is this? Your response to things will be counterintuitive. In other words, the way we normally respond is this way, you will respond another way. And your response is coming from what the Word of God has shown you concerning that. Which means the response of Jesus when the storm was coming was he was fast asleep. They said, look at this man. Don't you know we're dying? Fast asleep. So you can look into the Word and the Word shows you that, listen, the way to deal with this is stop praying this night and go to bed. And I want you to sleep soundly. For in returning and in rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in what? Confidence shall be your strength. So the person begins to behave in a way that is not normal and usual. It is the wind that is blowing. So you start responding. Look at David. David, the Bible says of him, just to show how these things change. If you look at 2 Samuel and chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 21, or from verse 19, or let's look at last sentence in 18. Okay, now let's read the whole of it. And it came to pass that the seventh day, the child died. Now David had been praying for his child, the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, when the child was alive, while the child was alive, we spoke unto him, and he will not hearken to our voice. This man was really grieved by what was going on. He said, how will he then vex himself? Which means there will be an outburst of anger and all of that if we tell him the child is dead. And when David saw that the servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? They said, yes, he is dead. David arose from the earth. What they were waiting for was a particular type of reaction, a manner. But they saw some other thing in David. He washed, anointed himself, changed his raiment, came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Hear what I'm saying. This is the God that you are praying to that didn't get your answer. The first thing you do, you went back to meet him and worshipped him. People will have been offended. People will have been angry. That this is the God that told me that I was going to judge. What type of God are you? This is a young child, you killed it. Listen, what type of God? He went back and worshipped God. Then after worshipping God, David now came back, came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then in their hearts, they said, what manner of man is this? What is this you are doing? So they asked him, all right, then his servant said unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Which means, what is this that you are doing? So what happens is, as you start reading the Word of God, the way and manner in which you start responding to things around completely change. That's where the results comes. All right? That's what is called the works of faith. Without which, we'll get into it, confessions will not produce because they are left by themselves. That's what he was saying, that you say without warmth and filled. He says, but you don't do what is needful. So somebody's believing God for growth in their business. You are declaring the Word of God. You are saying it out and confessing it. It says, but listen, when you start looking into the Word, it says the Word will start telling you things. You start seeing things. And then you begin to respond to those things. That once you start responding to those things, it said, listen, you are going to be blessed. I remember second service, I stopped the service to correct something. I needed a head usher. And I told her, I said, last week I saw it. And God said, this thing is affecting this ministry here. Correct this thing. But I said, I will. But it slipped my mind. So I saw it again. And I said, listen, come, let me tell you this. Change this in what you're doing. So what God begins to do, he shows you, all right? You see things in the Word of God. And then it changes, all right? The way it corrects you, the way you respond, and you are now different. He lost his job. Last time we saw him, his countenance has fallen. Next week, he went in, looked into the perfect law of liberty. He looked into it and saw something, perfect law of liberty. Next Sunday evening, we saw him where we play football together. He was there before us, jogging the ball and all of that. As we saw him and came to him, we asked, the only thing that should compel this kind of behavior is, have you gotten a new job now? Because the last time we saw you, you were downcast. Now, you know, you are talking, all right, encouraging people. We didn't know how to ask, All right, but somebody further was bold enough to say, look, how is it with you? He said, well, don't worry, it's on its way, it's on its way. Jesus is on its way with something massive. He has seen something. She has seen something. It starts changing the way, the manner, your behavior begins to change. Look at the church at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, this is a very, even Paul could not, he said, this is grace. He was shocked at the response of these guys. Shocked at it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and it says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do, all right, you to know the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, how that in a great trial of affliction, not just a trial, great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, we saw joy in abundance. He said, and their deep poverty, these guys had nothing. He says, but it abounded, all right, unto the riches of their generosity, which means that we saw they were in a tight situation, but they were joyful. We saw they had nothing, but he says they were the biggest givers in the church. Now, that's the way they responded to the trial, generosity. The way they responded was rejoicing and giving. And what they said, they quickly said, they said, listen, for to their power I bear record, beyond their power, which means they took it even beyond their power, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon ourselves the fellowship or the partnership of ministering to the saints. In other words, they were in deep poverty, but they heard that some saints somewhere were going through some persecution and were losing their houses. They said, at least we have peace here. Gather everything that we have. People were bringing things from their houses. Let's go and help these other people. And Paul said, I am shocked. What manner of man or men are these? Everybody's looking for help when they are in need. These people have decided not only to rejoice, but also to come out. Where he said they, it was from the impulse of their heart. Nobody forced it. These folks by themselves came to Paul and said, open a department in your ministry that will cater. Paul wasn't even thinking about it. And then they went on and said, how much will be needed? 10 million. We commit to you, we're going to give this 10 million. Paul said, where are you going to get it? He said, listen to me, all we have now is 100,000, but here is the 100,000. And watch our God move. Paul looked at it and said, I get it now. God will cause all grace to abound towards you. Which means that he gives it to the sower and then multiplies. Which means once a person commits to something in their heart, to give beyond what they have, and they give something small, God flows to multiply that. They got it. So Paul was shocked. That's why James went on and said, he said, if any man seems to be religious among you, he's forming spirituality, and doesn't bridle the tongue, you don't see them changing the way they speak. He said, they also do not go and visit those who are in affliction. He said, their religion is empty. It will be without any success or fruit. He said, because if anybody is looking into the perfect law of liberty as the solution to any crisis, that word will be telling you the key. So this then is look for people that are in need and you go and help them. That don't concentrate, all right, on yourself. Don't go and start thinking about myself. Now, I will say something here. I said midweek Sabbath, I think I said it on Sunday. Many years ago, I heard somebody say this. I'm trying to remember, I think, but I heard somebody say this. And he was teaching and he was talking about the role of the father and mother in a family and how that extends to the kingdom of God and why many Christians are not, all right, operating in the kingdom. And he said, in a family structure, the way God has designed it, is that when the child is born, the mother is the one who is the custodian and raises the child up to a certain age. And he said it's around 8 years old where she needs to transfer the authority of bringing up the child to the father. Because the father is less emotional in that he didn't carry the child in his womb. So there's an attachment to the child that the mother has that the man does not have. Even though he loves the child in a different way from the mother. But if the mother's love is protective, the mother's love is the kind that will shield, all right? But then the father's love is more like tough love. He looks at the destiny of the child and says, look, you've got to do this. You have to read all these books. Whether you are crying and shouting, that's it. All right? So the father has that authority thing and trains the child to face life outside the house the way life is, not the way you want it to be. Which means it's a tough thing out there. Anybody who is going to win must know how to fight. And if you're going to fight and win, you must afford, but so they set up things. And the father does that. All right? But if the mother doesn't allow that, then she injects beyond what she should do, the feminine spirit into the guy. This is why I believe, I might be wrong on this one, that we have gays. Because when you know, there's so much injection. You see a man, I mean, how can you see a man and love? Oh, something has to be fundamentally wrong somewhere. All right? How can you see a man and you're attracted? All right? It's only women that are attracted to men. You say, no, have you ever seen two hens running after themselves? Have you ever seen it? This one you are saying that is something. Something is wrong. Animals don't behave like that. Have you seen two hens running after themselves? So there must be something that's wrong. So you inject that. So this is what he said. He said when it comes to the church, he said the church is the mother. The father is there. You get born again. The church helps you. So you know, I've explained. That's why, to be honest with you, so, you know, many people tell me, I say, let's do it. But some things, so I think will be counterproductive. You are defeating the destinies of people. If you begin, what people are asking for, the fact that people ask for something doesn't mean you should grant it. And it's still part of this thing of not being able to withhold. Doesn't mean they ask for a king like the other nation. They mean that it was right. They warned them about it. Now, people get into a church and don't look to the father again for some things. They start looking to the church members. Are you following what I'm saying? So what happens is after some time, the father comes in and says, in order for this person to fulfill their destiny, I must receive them from the hold of the church. So what happens is that something happens. By the way, how can Christians behave like this? Born again Christians, eh? Church people, eh? Church people is the father. The Bible says if you are without chastisement, you are a bastard. It says the chastisement of the father is what grievous. It's not joyful. So the father gets involved. This is where people begin to throw up hands. I'm telling you, you don't get to certain places without going through things. Nobody is standing on a platform and doing things without a story. Make no mistake, there is no minister of God that is preaching to people and loving the body of Christ that hasn't been shown by the body of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? They have walked in forgiveness. So the father comes in and says, oh boy, you forgive here. You forgive. And then as you begin to now relate with the father, you start stepping into kingdom issues. No longer just church issues. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which means if you leave the four walls of this church, what you are doing, you're still doing it. Take a kingdom man out of where he is. All he will tell you is, give me my Bible, give me my notes. Give me, as I heard one businessman say something, I said, this man is real. He said, listen, I built a business in this city. He said, listen, if you take me to any city in this world, just give me a briefcase and a suit. I'll rebuild my company again. So you know the father. You understand the kingdom. Are you following what I'm saying? And someone says, well, you know, the way I will manipulate the pastor is that you won't see me for 6 weeks. Oh boy, if you are a new person, just born again, I will take it and be calling you. But you have been here for long. You won't get one call. One. But let me assure you, I will be praying for you every week, declaring the blessings of God over your life. But I won't call you. So let's go on here. So instead of, all right, you turn to the perfect law of liberty, and then you begin to look. All right, and start doing counterintuitive things that is like the wind that is blowing. Right? People can understand what you are doing, but your actions are based on the evidence that you have found in the Word of God. You have cited certain things that compel you to act in that manner. You have been persuaded to act that way, which means it's not based on anybody. You've seen it in the Word of God. Right, that this is how, all right, you act, and this is how you relate. Okay? So people feel like David, they felt you'll be angry. No. So you're acting that way. I mean, that's what happened to Abraham. And I'm going to say this when I close out. He saw something. That's why when he was tried, he did something that wasn't normal. He took his only begotten child. And the thing about God is this. He waits. He's like a board player. A game of chess. You make your move, he makes his move. You act, God shows up. You see something in the word of God, you do it. On the other side, God responds to you and acts. So let us look at, as I close here, a couple of scriptures here, Moses and Abraham. Two of them to see that they acted on something. What you see will make you act in a certain way. So when you pray and you open the word of God, you start seeing things. And what you see in the word of God will now start making you act in a certain way towards people. All right? Right? You start acting in a certain way. You start making moves that some people consider to be risky. But you are standing on the eternal word. All right? I mean, let's think about it. This earth is suspended on nothing, so to speak. So we are risking something. What if the earth goes in free flight? What is holding the earth is the word of Christ's power. So the truth is, even if you say I'm an atheist, you are standing on the reality of God's word. So when someone looks at something and makes that move, I say it's risky. No, he has seen something. He has been provided with the evidence that this action will lead to this. He's not guessing. He's not believing, you know, blindly. All right? He has the evidence that this action will lead to this. So what you see will make you act in a certain way. Faith, therefore, is the most rational. It is not, as many unthinking persons suppose, that it is believing without evidence. It is believing because you have been presented with the highest level of evidence. In other words, as you are looking at the perfect law of liberty, you saw it there, that this activity here, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. The word will persuade you to act in a certain way that gives expression to your faith before you have seen any manifestation. The manifestation now comes as the next move of God. F. A. Butsworth said, every case in history, you'll find, book of Hebrews chapter 11, everything was about an action. You'll say, well, Jesus spoke to the fig tree. How come he withered away? He didn't do anything to make it wither away. He did something. If you read the Bible says that when it came past, it was Peter that called his attention to look at it. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and didn't look at it again. How many people can speak to something expecting the thing wither away and you're walking past it and you won't check? Before he said, peace be still, he showed by his action that he was in charge. He was asleep when water was coming to the boat. You can say Jesus, and we know it's not a call of faith, but a cry of fear. That in the name of Jesus, but what you're saying is, what's the problem? Are you following what I'm saying here? Which means it's stemming out of a heart of fear, not from a position of rest. The patriarchs acted upon it before there was any visible thing to encourage them. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. We say it here. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. This thing, Mark, when you have up a son you've been praying for, you now offer him up. Offered up Isaac. And he that had received, well, you see, the point was that Abraham had received the promises. So it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. So when you receive it, it starts changing the way you behave. Offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Abraham accounted that God was able to raise him from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure or inside his heart. In other words, Abraham had seen from the word of God that you go and put Isaac down and you kill him. And God says, I will raise him up and raise him back up. So Abraham was convinced from the word of God that there was going to be resurrection. The first time it will ever happen, Abraham was convinced. How do you get convinced about that? It's awesome. So faith is not just behaving, you know, let's just be reactionary. He saw something. And then we look at Moses in verse 24, all right, or from 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, okay, was he 3 months. And in verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know what we're saying here? Moses was on course to become Pharaoh. He was on course. It's like resigning from a lucrative job. The path was set for Moses to become, all right? Now, that's why you can never copy somebody else's faith. Because their faith, in terms of activity, is based on what they have seen. And if you use another person's method, it won't work. That's when they gave David salt almond. He said it won't work. What you do is that you look into the word of God. And what you see in the word of God, that God shows you, do this. And he will build it up, little by little, line upon line. You do it, something opens up. You do that, something opens up. So Moses saw something. He didn't just resign because he didn't like the folks there. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he knew that this thing would soon collapse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect to the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the anger of the king. For he endured, how? As seeing him that was invisible. He saw something. So what James is talking about is, open up the perfect law of liberty as you're praying, right? And then you start seeing things. And then you start seeing things. So you take your actions based on things you see. If you've seen something, there's no risk. But you don't see anything, just go and ask. Then somebody comes and says, oh, this will be nice. It's not what is nice. It's whether we have seen it. And when you've seen something in the word of God, your God has opened your eyes to see something and has arrangement. You are not taking a risk. On the outside, there might be a risk. But you know. All right? On the inside of yourself, you know deep down that this is no risk. All right? So it's what you see in the realm of the spirit you act on. And in your business, if you see something, don't be afraid. Go for what you are seeing. Go, look, what comes to you as an insight, go and do it. All right? Might not be popular, people might not know, but you will never follow. That's the genius that is on the inside of you. That people will look at you and say, what manner of man is this? And don't forget those people I quoted from Abraham, Moses, those were in church-related matters. Moses was delivering his people from a political empire that was oppressive. They weren't starting a department in church. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's kingdom, there's church matter. Many people are very good church people, but throw them outside the four walls of the church. They can't operate in kingdom principles. What I'm talking about is kingdom stuff, not church matter. Which means you come to understand certain things and do it. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and allow the spirit of God to further cause this truth to grow and develop inside our hearts.
Thank you for listening.